Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As schools rely on parents and caregivers to deliver remote instruction to students, many families across Illinois have been struggling to be both parent and teacher right now. But that transition from caregiver to educator can be particularly challenging for parents of students with special needs. Students with special needs and their families often rely on specialized support services provided by their school district. That could be anything from speech pathologists to one-on-one nursing. But with school buildings closed, a lot of those support services have disappeared. Another challenge has been screens. Some students with special needs can't use an iPad or a Chromebook for extended periods of time, making e-learning a struggle for both student and parent to navigate. I recently had a chance to speak with a couple of people who've been dealing with this head-on. Nicole Schlechter is the mom to four kids in Pingree Grove. That's a northwestern suburb of Chicago. Cindy Klein is a special education teacher in the Triad Community Unit District 2 in Troy, which is near St. Louis. And WILL and Illinois Newsroom education reporter Lee Gaines also has been reporting on this. All three guests join me via Zoom, and I started by asking Cindy what her reaction was when she heard Governor Pritzker confirm that the rest of the school year would not be taking place in person.
I was not terribly surprised, but I was extremely disappointed. It was kind of a punch in the gut sadness when he announced that.
And Nicole, what about you? What was your reaction?
You know, I was in serious denial about it. I guess I knew it was coming, but as a parent, you know, you want your child to go in and be able to finish out the school year and have that closure before they move on to the next grade.
And what has the past month been like for you and your family?
So we spend a lot of time together as is. We're a really close family. And so that part of it hasn't been that different. One of the benefits of having a lot of kids is they entertain each other. So that has definitely been a bonus to being home is, you know, they're keeping each other busy. As far as school goes though, it's definitely been a struggle. My oldest son has autism, ADHD, and really serious anxiety and, just really struggles to learn in a e-learning environment because he is much more of a visual hands-on kind of guy. So it's been hard to get him to initiate work, and then complete it. And then my six-year-old is in kindergarten. And so, he's still barely reading, also struggles with some anxiety issues also. And so there has been kind of a bare minimum approach from us when it comes to school, to get this done. It's been really hard.
And I guess when you need that sort of tactile experience for your education, it's hard to get that in a video chat, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And for a kid that struggles with social expectations and following social cues, a video chat really makes no sense to him because conversationally, he is just a very black and white kid, like doesn't know how to hold a conversation, things like that.
And Cindy, what about you? Similar question. What does school look like for your students right now? What have you changed or had to adapt to?
Yes, we've had to change and adapt a lot. In-person learning is such a big thing. When we start the school year, there's a lot of dynamics that go into your classroom. There's rules and structure. And by Christmas time, you're almost a family, you know, and then to go where we have really no interaction other than a Zoom once in a while and Google Hangouts and so forth. It's very difficult. It's difficult for us as well as the students because as a special education teacher, we are constantly evaluating and reevaluating and changing our strategies minute by minute even. Something that we think might take 10 minutes may take 2 days. It depends on the kid. And you get a lot of that by reading their body language and understanding when they get it and when they don't, whether it's through their eyes or their shoulders or their reactions. And there's just a lot of interaction and dynamics that go into the teaching. And it's very hard to evaluate through technology.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about that, the importance of that in-person component? You mentioned body language, but how else does that play into learning with some of your students?
Well, some of my students when they, even in a small group, I have groups of from 5 to 10 kids at a time generally. And even in the small group, if they don't understand something, they won't always come out and say, I don't understand it. But you can see if they have that deer in the headlight look, you know, or their shoulders are slumped, or they're avoiding eye contact, or all these different things that you know they're not getting it, and you can go to them and work with them individually, or change your strategy and ask somebody else a question until you can see their eyes light up and you know they have it, you know. It's just the interaction causes you to adjust your teaching and re-explain and redo things in different ways with different modalities until you can see it click, and you can't see it click with technology.
I gather that a schedule and structure is important.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just as Nicole was saying, there is a lot of structure and a lot of expectations. And I know some of my parents have indicated that it's really difficult, and they didn't realize how compartmentalized their child was until this started, that in their mind, school is at school. And when you're home, it's not school. And they're having a whole lot of trouble trying to get them to do anything because they're not making that jump. You know, they're not at school, so they shouldn't be doing school. It's just real difficult for some of them.
Yeah, I got to say, I think those of us who are fortunate enough to be able to work from home are also trying to figure out that balance and how to decompartmentalize our life if we have any success in doing so. Lee, I want to bring you into the conversation. Lee Gaines from WILL and Illinois Newsroom. You spoke with parents of special needs students about some of their challenges. What did they have to tell you?
A lot of what they told me is a lot of what Nicole actually said. Issues where, you know, there's a bare minimum approach to learning, I think is the phrase that she used. And that's honestly reflected in a lot of the conversations that I've had with parents. Issues around the use of screens. I spoke with one mother in Wilmette whose son also has autism and really cannot spend more than 15 minutes a day or so on an iPad because he becomes overstimulated. And that causes a negative behavioral reaction from him. And then I spoke with another parent in Deerfield, Illinois. Her name is Lauren Kamnick. She has 3 kids. 2 of her children have special needs, very different special needs. So one is more on the physical disability side where he struggles. You know, he needs a feeding tube. When he's in school, he's learning some of the basic life skills like washing your hands and things like that. And then her other child has more of behavioral issues, ADHD, anxiety, depression. And normally he goes to a therapeutic day school. And so we actually have a cut of tape from Lauren talking about how stressful being at home with these 3 kids is on a daily basis.
If I go to the bathroom for 5 minutes, it's screaming and banging on the door nonstop. I mean, it's, I mean, if you can hear me, I just have this, I mean, it's just constant.
You know, I think Lauren really illustrates another issue that a lot of these parents face, which is that for them, school was a break in the day. It was an opportunity for them to basically have some time to themselves, have some time to run errands, have some time to do things that are not related to keeping their kids alive or trying to educate them, which often I think feels like an afterthought for a lot of these parents right now.
Yeah, well, Nicole, I want to ask you about that. You have 4 kids.
I do.
I have 2, and I, you know, at times am struggling. I wonder, not only do you have to be a mom, but you're serving in that teacher role now. Is that stressful to navigate?
It absolutely is. In this case, I feel almost a little lucky that I have 4 kids because I'm used to juggling a lot all at the same time. I used to be a teacher, so the teacher thing comes kind of naturally to me. And I'm a special education advocate also, so I work from home with all 4 kids here on a regular basis. So I've kind of been preparing for this for years.
this is your moment.
Yeah, this is kind of where I'm thriving. That being said, it is really, really hard. I keep telling parents and I keep telling my friends, so families that I'm working with, and then also just friends that are kind of reaching out for support, that your house is your safe space for your child and for you. And then you are your child's safe person. And so in this time of e-learning, when you have to take on this kind of teacher role, I think it's really important that we protect our safe space and we protect our parent-child relationship and we protect our mental health, because my fear through all of this for my kids, for myself, for the families that I support, is that we are coming from this reality of life that everything has to be done, and this perfectionist attitude where we're trying to keep up with everybody else on social media. And now all of this is kind of thrown into our lap, and it is impossible to get all of the things done and be at 100% all of the time when you're trying to work from home and you're trying to be a teacher and you're still trying to be a mom and do all of these things at home that you would typically do. So I think it's really important that we focus on protecting our safe space and protecting our home and our relationship with our child and our mental health. And so what that looks like for you and for me might be different. But I think that's where that bare minimum approach is kind of going through. We are getting done what we're able to do, what is appropriate for our family in the moment. And if it doesn't get done, I just communicate with my team, our IEP team, and let them know kind of what's going on. We're all in the same boat where we're trying to figure out how this is going to work for each of us.
Well, IEP team, for people who may not be familiar, that's the school, basically the teachers who are working on your individualized education plan. Is that, I might have that.
Yeah. So that would be like the teacher, the special education teacher, your social worker, occupational therapist, all of those awesome people.
So Cindy, on that note, what have you been hearing from parents?
Similar things. Some of them are struggling, you know, they have different children and different age groups and different things going on. And we've had to make adjustments. With some of my IEP kids, I've said they're not doing an exploratory, they're not doing science, they're not doing social studies. We're throwing those out this quarter, and they're sticking with just their special ed classes, the reading, the math, the English, to try to keep those skills up and to limit how distressed and stressed out they were getting over this, because they have a lot going on other than school. And we have to be willing to negotiate, willing to give up a little, you know, and not expect so much. If I don't see one of my kids online, that's usually online, I contact them immediately, not to see where the homework is, but to make sure that the family's all right and that, you know, no one is sick and everything's going all right. So we have to kind of prioritize differently than we would if we were in a different situation.
Lee, have we heard anything from local or state leaders about supporting families and students as they continue to try to figure out e-learning?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Illinois State Board of Education came out earlier this month with recommendations, so best practices for remote instruction, including best practices for remote special education instruction. But they're really these kind of guidelines, right? So it's really up to each individual district, each individual school, each individual teacher to implement these practices. But a lot of it, I think, is really trying to find what works for the parent and what works for the student. That, I mean, special education by its very nature is not a one size fits all type of situation. It's really an individualized education for these students. So how does that work out? And I think it's going to look very different based on the socioeconomic status of the families involved. You know, I spoke with a parent. She and her wife are both essential workers. They have a toddler and they have a 7-year-old son with autism. And, you know, she works days, her partner works nights, and like barely any learning is happening in the household because of that situation. So, you know, even though there are these best practices floating out there, how they're getting implemented, you know, who knows? It's going to look very different from each family to, you know, the next family.
And Cindy, we've been hearing a lot now recently about regression in students or learning loss. I'd imagine that's a concern of yours as well.
Yes and no. Yes, it is a concern. A lot of our students regress just over the summer. So this, of course, will compound things, but all the students are in the same boat, and the teachers are just going to have to pick up wherever they happen to be in the fall and take them from where they are to where we need to be. We have to adjust.
And Nicole, I wonder, what are your concerns for your son when students go back to school?
I have to agree with Cindy. I obviously, all as a parent, you're always concerned about regression. For my son, we were already seeing a little bit of regression prior to this. So it's definitely a concern. What we've been focused on is kind of maintaining the skills that he has. Everything, all the progress that he's made this year, we're really focused on just maintaining that. So that we're not worried about learning new skills or pushing him further, just really focused on mastering the skills that he's gained so that when we go back in the fall, we're not relearning everything that we've learned this year. We're just kind of moving forward.
That is Nicole Schlechter. She's a mom of four. Her oldest son learns with autism and ADHD and anxiety. We've also been speaking with Cindy Klein, a special education teacher at Triad Community Unit School District 2 in Troy, and Lee Gaines, education reporter for WILL and Illinois Newsroom. Thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Coming up, we check in with teachers about what their experience of e-learning has been during the coronavirus pandemic. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so at 800-222-9455. Our number again is 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21STShow. That's 21st Show. More to come after a break. Stay with us.